Today's daf is Bechiris Daf Lamed Zayin, and we are at the Mishnah, the first of the two Mishnayas, in the middle of Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima to Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. So the topic of the daf, the last few days, was the idea that a Kohen is Choshed to be Matal Mum in his Bechar. If somebody has a Bechar of a Behemoth Tahira, he has to give it to a Kohen. It doesn't matter if the Bechar is a Tam or whether it's a Baal Mum. Either way, the Kohen gets it. The difference is what the Kohen does once he gets it. If it's a Bechar Tam, he has to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, be makriv it as a carbon. If it's a Bechar Baal Mum, he can eat it Bechol She'orech. It's for that reason the Kohen was incentivized for it to have a quote-unquote Mum, because from his personal perspective, it would have more value. It would be a little bit more practical for him, for it to have a mum. It's for that reason the Bechar was the Kohen was considered chashud when it came to identifying the history of this mum. Says the Mishnah, Hakol Nemonim Amumei Maaser. Meaning, even though we don't trust the Kohen 100% when it comes to determining how exactly the mum in his Bechar developed, but when it comes to an ordinary yid, every year, whether he's a Kohen or Levi or Yisrael, who has an obligation to be mafresh ma'isa behema, with there too the halacha is that if it's a tam, you bring it as a carbon. If it's a baal mum, you could eat it wherever you want. So sol kedai techamina, you'd have the same halacha, that maybe a person should be chashud when it comes to inquiring with regards to his mum. Says the Mishnah, it's not that way. The Kohen is a chashud when it comes to his bechar, but when it comes to ma'isa behema, everybody's bullied. Freak the Gemara, my time. So the Gemara says, the ibai shadi be make mum, because if he wants, he can give it a mum. It's so easy for him to be matal mum, so there's no reason. Freak the Gemara, what are you talking about? Meikar miyada hai nafak? There's no way for him to be matal mum. Meaning, the assumption is that it could be matal mum before it becomes the ma'isa behema. But before it comes to ma'isa behema, he doesn't know if it, or which one of the animals is going to be the ma'isa behema. You'll tell me, no. What he could do is he could be matal mum before it became kodesh, and then he'll manipulate this animal that he gave a mum, that should be the asiri. But the Gemara says, we know that's something you're not allowed to do. So the Gemara says, you're right. What he could do is he could be matal mum in the entire Eder before he's mafresh the ma'isa behema. And if he would do that, he wouldn't be over an issa. See, what's the issue with being matal mum kachem? Once something is kachem already, you don't have a right to be matal mum. It says in the Torah, v'chamum lo yibay. You can't even do it b'derech groma. But by ma'isa behema, it's possible to be matal mum in the ma'isa behema before it gets kedushas ma'isa behema. How are you going to do that? You don't know which animal is going to be the Asiri Yiyah Kodesh. What you can do is you can be matal mum in the entire Eder. Take every single one of your animals to be matal mum. Well, now for sure, the Asiri, doesn't matter which one it is going to have a mum because they all have a mum. You weren't over the Issa B'chamum La'yibay because you were matal mum before it actually became Kodesh. So if you want to be a chashid, if you want to lie, there's just an easy way out. It's like a migu. Instead of testifying falsely and lying to the chacham and to the bezdin that's going to determine whether this is a mum or not a mum, there's a much easier way to do it. You could do it b'derech heter. What you could do is you could be matal mum before it gets kedusha. By bechar, you can't do that because as soon as it's born, it already has kedusha. But by ma'isa behema, it doesn't get its kedusha until it goes tachas hashevet. So before you stick the animals into the deer, before you go through this process, you'll be matal mum in all of them. Like this, for sure, you'll be able to get the mum, which is the result that you want, without being over an iser. Being that there's a way to do it, but derech heter, there's no reason for you to do it, but derech iser, and that's why hakol namam. Zok the Mishnah, bechar shenis mezeinoy, bechar that's blind in one of its eyes, v'shenik or it's missing one of its hands, or one of its feet are missing. The halacha is all you need to do is find three people in shul, so to speak, and they're qualified to tell you that this is a mum. Right? What's unique about these three cases are they're very obvious mumim. They're what's called a mum that's muvak. It's just so obvious that it's a mum. It's not really tan sheilas rav. Stating that, despite the fact that it's obvious, ein adam roye mumei atzmai, just like ein adam roye nigei atzmai, so you still need to have some outside, independent opinion to tell you that this is a mum. But it's enough to take three poshet to yidin. You don't need a mumcha necessarily. Rabbi Yossi, he says, affiliation estrim vishloisha. Even if you have 23, what's the significance of 23? 23 is always a bezdin. The Sanhedrin HaKotan was 23. The Sanhedrin HaGadol was 71. The Sanhedrin HaKotan, for dinei nefashos, for example, was always 23. He says, even if you would have 23 people, which is a real chosh of a number, enoi nishchat el al pi mumcha, you always have to have a mumcha. Zog dimar, Rabbi Simulay, Rabbi Yudin Nesir, Rabbi Shmait, Rabbi Shulman Levi, Rabbi Simulay, Rabbi Shulman Levi, Rabbi Yudin Nesir, Amri. What did they say? HaTorah, Bechor b'chutz laretz. If somebody wants to be matur, Bechor b'chutz laretz, you could do it al pi shloisha b'nei hakasas. You could do it with three yidin from shul. You don't have to have a mumcha. You don't have to have someone that's baki in the mumim of Bechor, someone that learned the dafin that we're about to learn coming days, that are going to discuss the mumim in Bechor. But three people from the Knesset, that would be enough for them to be matur. Now, what's unique about a Bechor b'chutz laretz? So the Rishonim say, it's not chutz laretz versus Eretz Yisrael, per se, but rather it's Zman HaBayis versus Zman HaZeh. The point is that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, b'zman shaveis hamikdash kayim, so then whether something is a tamamum has a nafgemina la'locha as to whether it's going to be brought as a carbon or whether it's not going to be brought as a carbon. If somebody lived b'zman habayis in chutz laretz, so this animal wasn't being brought as a carbon anyways. He's in chutz laretz. Or if somebody lives today, even in Eretz Yisrael, because there's no beis hamikdash, so again, it's not being brought as a carbon. Being that it's not being brought as a carbon anyways, that's not what's at stake. What's at stake is, can I eat it or do I have to wait for it to develop a mum? But to bring it as a carbon, unfortunately, b'nei chata'enu, is not an option. In that instance, the whole sugya becomes more kuladig. So the shayla, but it's a mum or not a mum, is more kuladig bizman hazeh, or it's more kuladig b'chutz la'aretz bizman habayis, because there is no option to bring it as a carbon. So it was in that context that Amiram said that hator as p'chor b'chutz la'aretz, emphasis on chutz la'aretz, al pishloish of nei knesses. Amar Rava said, ubim mumim mufakim, that the only time this is true, if it's a mum mufak. Meaning if it's a mum, such as the mum of our Mishnah, where it was Bechor Shem Nismesenoi, Shem Nikta Yadoi, or Shem Nishtag Beraglet. But if it's a mum that's not muvuk, then you always have to come on to a mum. What's the chiddush of this whole halacha tanina? Isn't that our Mishnah? Bechor Shem Nismesenoi, Shem Nikta Yadoi, Shem Nishtag Beraglet, HaRezi Yishogad, Al Pigim, Obnei Knesses. It sounds like this is the halacha of the Mishnah. Zok Dimarna, even Mas Nisan, had we only had the Mishnah of Amina, I would have thought Bechutz Laretz, Afilu Mum Shem Uvok. I would think that the Mishnah is talking not about Chutz Laretz. The Mishnah is talking about Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Beis Mikdash, and it's over there that the halacha is that it's only by a mum that's muvak that you can use shloisha bnei haknesses. However, b'chutz laretz, you would have thought afilu mumim she'ein muvakin. Maybe even if it's not a mum muvak, it's okay with shloisha bnei haknesses, even if there's no mumcha. Ah, you're gonna ask me if in chutz laretz it's okay, even if the mum is not muvak to you, shloisha bnei knesses, why the Mishnah say, davkum a mum muvak? Why didn't the Mishnah emphasize this point? It's like the achah koichet Rabbi Yossi, which is not the koyach, the hetero, it's the koyach, the yisura. Rabbi Yossi was machmer, and he said, einoi nishpachat el al pi mumcha, kamash blan, that's true, even where it's a mum muvak. But the point is, even though the halacha that the Amiram said was technically the same halacha that the Mishnah said, you could have made a tois in the Mishnah. You could have thought that the Mishnah is discussing dafka bizman shebeis hamikdash haya kaim, but as it relates to chutz laretz, or at the time that there's no beis hamikdash, there the halacha would be true even if it's not a mum muvak, because it's more kuladik. So even if the mum is not muvak, even there, shloisha bnei haknesses would be okay. You wouldn't have to have a mumcha. The reason the Mishnah didn't say that is because the Mishnah wanted to be hoydiach koichet Rabbi Yossi. Either way, kamash malon, that's what the Amiram said. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yumi Barab, Safik Shmei Rab, Safik Shmei Shmuel. Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Rabbi Yumi Barab, who said it in the name of either Rab or Shmuel. The Gemara's going to come back to this later. It was a Safik, whether Rabbi Yumi Barab had said it in the name of Rab, or whether he had said it in the name of Shmuel. It wasn't clear who he heard it from, but either way, what he said was, Gimel Matirnes Abachar, Bimokim She'im Mumcha. Three Poshet Yidden have the ability to be Matir Bchar, Bimokim with his no Mumcha. Freit the Gemara, Maiko Mashmon Tanina, isn't that our Mishnah? Reza Yishachi, Al Pi Gimel Bnei Knesset. So the Gemara says, no, Imi Maslis and Havam Bina Filo Bimokim Mumcha. You would have thought, maybe it's okay, even if there is a mumcha. The Mishnah doesn't say where there's no mumcha. Maybe you think even where there's a mumcha, kamash malon, but makam sheh mumcha in, but makam sheyesh mumcha loy. Incidentally, from the Gemara's kash, it's clear that the Gemara understood that this halacha is also only true by a mum that's mufak. We're relating Gitar Mishnah, which is discussing a mum that's muvak. So Reb Yirmiyah bar Abba, Sofik Mishmei de Rav, Sofik Mishmei de Shmuel, is being moisif on the Mishnah, is that even though the Mishnah said that we have a mum muvak, hareze yishachet al pi gimel bnei hakneses, that's only true b'mokim she'im mumcha. But if there's a mumcha, you always have to rely on the mumcha. Amar Rabchi bar Amram, more on this note. Gimel matirnes abuchar, b'mokim she'im mumcha. Meforish, there are three bnei hakneses, can be mata b'char, but only b'makim, but there's no mumcha. Gimel matir nes ha-neder b'makim she'in chacham. If somebody makes a neder, and now he has charata on the neder that he made, he has a pesach to be mata the neder, so he can sit in front of three people, like we do Erev Rosh Hashanah, Shimon HaRabbosai, and the three people could be mata the neder, but only b'makim she'in chacham. Zok the Gemara, gimel matir nes ha-b'char b'makim she'in mumcha, where Rabbi Baramim said that three could be matter a bechor when there's no mumcha. Lafukim with Rabbi Yosi. He's coming lafukim with Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said in the Mishnah that even when there's a mum muvak, even if you would have 23 people, it wouldn't go. You always have to have a mumcha. So just because there's no mumcha doesn't mean it's okay for the avid without a mumcha. Even if it's a mum muvak, you always have to have a mumcha. Rabbi Yosi, you always have to have a mumcha. Shloisha mefirin es haneder b'mokim she'ein chacham. What's the chiddush? Lafukim with Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya faras and darim begimel. Rabbi Yehuda oimer echem yem chacham. You always have to have a chacham. You always have to have a chacham. Kamash b'lam, which is the halacha, that gimel matir nes ha-neder, b'makoim she'ein chacham. Zok the Gemara, b'makoim she'ein chacham k'goy man. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is it sounds like, according to Rabchia bar Amram, three could be matir nedarim, b'makoim she'ein chacham. But where there is a chacham, the chacham could do it by himself. He doesn't have to come along with anybody else. So what would be the definition of that type of chacham that could be matir neder by himself? So the Gemara said, Amar Rav Nachman said, Kegoinano, somebody like myself. There's a few members like this from Rav Nachman and Chaz, Ein Sanhedrin Dafe. But either way, Rav Nachman said, Kegoinano, I could dan dine mominus by myself. I don't have to be accompanied by anybody else. Regardless of the Gemara, Rav Yudah said, Echem em chacham. Rav Yudah said that one of them has to be a chacham. Mechlal da'anach koldu. It sounds like the other two don't have to be chachamim. And they could even be koldu. Meaning, what? Is there any level of chachma that they have to have? Okay, it's not have to be chacham. Definition of chacham is Rav Nachman. We set the bar very high. But what about the others? The others, do they have to know something? The Gemara, I'm Ravina, yeah. The Mestari Leva Sava. They have to at least be able to understand Hilchas Adam. So if they're at the point where they're so removed from understanding Hilchas Adam that even if you explained it to them, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, so then they can't be part of the Gemel. As long as they're chacham enough that if you explained it to them, they would understand what you're talking about, that would be enough for you to be able to... for them to be able to contribute. Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Afilu Yesham Chaf Gimel. So again, what was the halach in the Mishnah? That if you have a Bechar that has a mum muvak, it's a mum that everybody in the world understands is a mum. It's not one of these questionable things that you have to look under a special light, take out and look under the sun. It's very, very clear that this is a mum. Bechar Shenismis Einoi, Vishenikta Ayadoi, Vishenishtabra Ragloi. So you have a Machlikis, Rabbi Yosi, and the Chachamim in terms of how you go about being matter this bechar. The Chachamim, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah said, Hareze yishachet al pi gimel bnei hakneses, that you have a right to go over to three Pashto Yidden. They can tell you that, yeah, we confirm that it's nisma einoi, it's nikta yadoi, it's nishtabra ragloi, and based on that, you would treat it now as a bechar bam. The Gemara qualified this halacha a few times and said that that's only b'makom she'ein mumcha, meaning b'makom that there's a mumcha, you need a mumcha. Okay, but assuming that there is no mumcha, which is obviously a very likely scenario, in that event, three bnei hakneses would be able to be matir neder. Rav Yosi argued. Rav Yosi said bnei hakneses don't work. Even if you would have 23, it still wouldn't work. You always have to have a mumcha. If there's no mumcha, you can't be matir. Zok the Gemara, Rav Chananu, Omar Rav, in halachik Rav Yosi. The halacha is not like Rav Yosi. Freit the Gemara, pshita. It's poshet halacha is not like Rav Yosi. Why? Yachid v'rabim halachik rabim. Because Rav Yosi is a yachid. And he seems to be arguing with the Chachamim. The Tanakhama sounds like it's everybody. So if you're Rav Yosi on the one hand, and you have all the other gedolim on the other hand, yachid v'rabim halachik rabim. Zok the Gemara, ma'u b'teim, I would have thought, nimaikayimai. Rav Yosi is different. Because we know Rav Yosi halachik amayis b'chamak. Rav Yosi nimukayimai. We always paskin like Rav Yosi. So I would have thought that halachas like Rav Yosi, even keneged the rabim, even when he's the yachid, kamash malah, not that way. Zok the Gemara, who said this? Rav Chananel said this in the name of Rav. Omer Rav Chananel, Omer Rav. In halacha ki Rabbi Yosi. Zokti Gemara. That's interesting. If Rav is the one that said it, then tivshayt meha, let's be poshit from this member of Rav, dahach kamaisa, that the previous member, when we weren't sure if it was from Rav or Shmuel, is mishmei de Shmuel. So what was that previous member? The Gemara said, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Yirmiyah bar Rabba. It was about 10 lines from the bottom of Laman Vav Amud Beis. Sofik mishmei de Rav, Sofik mishmei de Shmuel. Okay. Gimu matir nesabachar b'makom she'mumcha. It was essentially the shita of the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda had heard from Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Rabba. It was a Sofik, he heard from Rav or Shmuel, that the halacha is like the Chacham. Says the Gemara, we weren't sure if Rav said it or Shmuel said it. I think the fact that Rav said right here, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, is a raya that Shmuel must have been the one that said that memra on Lamed Vav Mebeis. Sounds a little counterintuitive. It would make more sense that Rav said it, and it's Rav l'shitasi, but the Gemara says no, because Idish made the Rav. If it was really Rav that said it, the Rav, Tarti Lamali, why do you have to say it twice? Why do you have to chazer over his psak? So probably that was Shmuel, and this is Rav, and the Gemara gives the obvious answer, Chod Mechlal V'chavir Te'itma, who said Rav said it twice? Maybe Rav only said it once, and incidentally, why can't Rav say something twice? So Rav, we know, was a shaskin. Rav was the one who said, "La'olam yishana adam le'talmidai b'derech kitzara ma'ilas hashtika." I'm only joking. I don't know, but either way, so why did Rav say it twice? Zok de Gemara, he didn't say it twice. He said it once, and I'm extracted from what he said. Rav Chananel once said, based on the one time Rav paskin like the Chachamim, he said, "Ein halacha k'Rav Yosi." And Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba said that halacha is gimul matir nesabuchar b'makom she'mumcha. But it was all based on things that they had heard, or something they had heard from Rav, but Rav himself had only said it one time. Nacha Mishnah, Shoichet is a Bechor. If somebody shechts a Bechor, V'noida Shaloi Hera'u. So a Kohen had a Bechor, he shechted it, and now he sold the meat. A Yid buys the meat, and he finds out afterwards that the meat that he bought came from an animal, that was a Bechor, that had a mum, but the Kohen never showed the mum to a mumcha, or he never showed the mum to Bnei HaKnesses. He never followed the steps of what you're supposed to do when you have a mum. And he was very disappointed. He can't believe what he ate. So he goes running back to the moich. He says, "What did you sell me? You were machshul me with macholas asuros." So what's the halach from a financial standpoint? Meaning, how do we treat the, is it some mekach toys? Like, how do you look at this? Zokti Gemara, Masha Ochle Ochle, whatever he ate, and he gets his money back. And Rashi says that even though he technically ate the food, and he enjoyed the food, presumably, he was nana from it, so like, mehecha tesi, I should get my money back. So Zokti Rashi, you get the money back, it's a knas, mishum knas. Sounds a little like from Rashi, that based on the mishpate, choshen mishpat, maybe he shouldn't get his money back, I ate it. But it's a knas. You sold him something you weren't supposed to do. Meaning, you were supposed to take this bechor, you were supposed to take it to a chacham and make a determination whether it has a mum or not. You sold it without following the protocol. So it's for that reason we're going to punish you. But regardless, that's the halacha. Masha achloi achloi, v'yachslam es adam. Masha loy achloi. Whatever the person didn't eat. Let's say he bought a lot of food, he ate some of it, but some of it he didn't eat. So halacha is a basi you cover. You have to get rid of that. Why? Because at this point, you can't check it anymore. It's too late. It was already shachut, so there's no way of going about checking it. And at the obviously, you can't eat it for that reason, because maybe it's a bechor tam, and if it's a bechor tam, it's also bachila, it's also bano. The achsas adomim, obviously, you're going to get your money back. Similarly, if somebody shechts a para, and he sold it, and then the person who bought this piece of meat found out later that the meat that he had bought was treif. Masha achloi achloi, so halach is if he ate it, he ate. Masha loy achloi, heim yachziru loy es habasar, v'hu yachzalem es adamin. And whatever he didn't eat, you give him back the basar. Now what value does the basar have? Treifa has value. Ketzal to a guy, it's mutabana, lakel tashlichanoy, so you can give it to your favorite dog. I mean, there's things you could do with it. So as a result, I'll give you back the treifa that you sold me, but obviously it's a nakachtois. You have to give me my money back. What if the person that bought the basa treifa already sold the basa treifa to a non-Jew? Or he fed it, he gave it to his dog. So it's not around anymore. So then the halacha is Yishalmud Dmei Treif. So he can't give it back to the Moicher. He simply doesn't have it anymore. So the halacha is that even though he sold it, he doesn't have it. So he's not giving it back to the Moicher, but the Moicher is still going to have to reimburse him the money. So he doesn't have to give him back all the money. The reason I have to give back all the money is because I already got some value from it. So the buyer, let's say, paid $100 for the meat, and now he sold it to a non-Jew for $20, let's say. So he lost $80 in this transaction, meaning he paid $100 for meat that he got $20 back for. So it's that difference, the $80 loss, that the Meicher has to reimburse. Okay, Gemara, a Braisa that elaborates on this complicated Mishnah. If somebody sells basar, that's right, it's a basar b'char. And he finds out later that it was basar b'char. It was basar b'char that had a questionable mum, and the koyein violated his obligation of taking it to a chacham and checking. He never checked to see whether the mum is a real mum or not. Similarly, peiros v'nimtzu tefalim. If somebody bought peiros and he found that afterwards that it was tevel, yai v'nimtzu yai nesach. Bought wine, he found that it was yai nesach. Masha achloi achloi v'yaslam es adam. He gets his money back in all those cases. Rav Shimon Alazo Omer, he says it not true, not necessarily. Dvarim shanefesh kotze behem yachsalem es adam. If somebody buys something, and it's something that Jews find disgusting, so the halacha is that if he eats it, he's going to get his money back. But if it's something that people don't necessarily find disgusting, for that he doesn't get his money back. Meaning, if he didn't eat it, then yeah, you switch it back. But if he ate it already, you're not going to get reimbursed. If I ate something that, now that I found out, it was that isser, it's disgusting. So then, even though I ate it, and I can't give it back to you, because it's simply not it, you still have to give me back my money. But if it's something that's ein nafshei gotza, such a thing, if I ate it, you don't give me your money back. If I have it, then obviously I'll give you back what I bought, it was a mekach tois, and you'll give me back my money. But to the extent that I ate it already, I'm not getting reimbursed. What are examples of things that you didn't find disgusting? Somebody eats a bechor that had a questionable mum. It's not necessarily something shanefesh katzabahem. Tvolim, if somebody eats tevel, end of the day, it was an apple. Okay, he wasn't ma'aser. It's not like eating treifa, shkotzim, v'ramasim. V'yayin esech, it's a glass of wine. The fact that there's a shayla over here with the wine isn't something that would cause the person that nafshei should be katzabahem, and it's for that reason has a tremendous impact in the laws of Choshen Mishpat. Says the Gemara, if somebody would eat a bechor, according to Rab Shimon ben Elazar, so the halacha is, being that it's a dover she'ena nefesh katzabahem, so I ate it, I wouldn't get my money back. Fake the Gemara, why not? V'lei malei, ma'yef sadatich. This koyin had this bechor that apparently there was a good chance he wasn't going to be able to eat. So if he wasn't going to eat it, certainly once he shechted it, like how was he going to eat it at that point? Because how are you going to check it once you shechted it? So being that he wasn't going to be able to eat it, so he wasn't going to have any value. He wasn't going to get anything in return for this money. Now you sold it to me, I ate it. Okay. You got money for selling it to me. We say that you're allowed to keep the money. Why should you keep the money? I think you should give it back to me, Frank the Gemara. Because why are you profiting from something that you were never supposed to? Meaning, if you lost something by me eating it, so I understand why you keep my money. But you didn't lose anything by me eating it. Because had I not eaten it, you anyways wouldn't have been able to eat it. So why is it because it's a nafshei katzabahem? Now that I ate it, you get the profit? It doesn't seem fair. You were supposed to have nothing from this. Now you sold it to me. You deceived me. You sold it to me. I ate it. I had hana. Okay. I mean, I did it by mistake. I was a shaydi. I had hana. You get to keep my money. Fake the Gemara. V'lei malei. My hafsadatich. L'chayra. By me taking my money back from you, I'm not causing you any hafsad. Because you anyways weren't going to have it. Based on that, that should be enough of a reason to give it back to me. So the Gemara says, you have to say, it's talking about a case where when he sold them the meat, the person that ate the meat actually caused him a little bit of hafsid, because the meat that he sold was where the mum was. That questionable mum was on that shtick flesh that this person ate. The Amalei said, "Amoichik to tell the lekechi." Lav da'achla said, "You're not eating it. Have a machzina levishari." What I could have done was I could have taken it, I could have showed it to a chacham, and maybe he would have been matter it. Now you're going to tell me once you shecht it, how are you showing it to a chacham? Rav Yehuda, that's the next line. It's like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's shita is that you're allowed to show a bechor to a chacham even after you shechted it already. So it's for that reason, technically, you did cause me some hefsid. I mean that you caused me some hefsid. That's why I get to keep your money. Tefalim. What about with regards to tevel? In the case that you sold me the tevel, why do you keep my money? What hefsid did I cause you when I ate the tevel that gives you the right now to keep it? The Gemara says, that's pasha. What do you mean? You could have If you would have been upset had you known that it was tevel, and had you not eaten the tevel, you would have given the tevel back to me. I'd give you back your money because I'd be able to benefit from the tevel. I'd be mafsid shumas and maizris. But now that you ate it, I can't be mafsid shumas and maizris. So you eating it will mafsid me, and it's for that reason I get to keep your money. Yainesach also ayidei taruvas. The way Rashi explains is talking about where you sold it to my ayidei taruvas. Shimon Gamliel, it's not yainesach shnaf al bar. Kula yaser bahanof. Yainesach is nisarev with other mashka that's mutter. The whole taruva is asad hanof. Shimon Gamliel loymer yimacher kula yivikachav. No, you could sell it. Chutz mitmei yainesach shvay. Now that I have hanof from yainesach. So you can sell the taruvos and just deduct the value of the yayin esek. But the point is, being that it was sold in a way where it was ayidei taruvos, I actually did lose by you eating. Meaning it was the taruvos that he ate. I mean that he ate the taruvos, so the person's upset because he ate yayin esek. And that's why we have a brisa here to discuss the chosha mishpat ramifications. But at the same time, you can't tell me I didn't cause you hafzid. You did cause me hafzid. Because by you eating it, I can't sell it to a guy. Ordinarily, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, I would have had the right to go ahead and sell it to a guy. On that note, Hadron Halach Kol Psule Hamukdashim. So before we start the new perek, just to go back, so much festerade this week, and so many sugyas that we went through. I mean, it's interesting that a lot of sugyas and Hilchas Eidos come up here in Masechtas Becheiros. You have halachas in Hilchas Eidos, halachas in Hilchas Dayanos. We had the halachas of Eid Mipied, Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter, Nilsa, the Avida, Legluye, Loima Shakriinchi. Just one ha'ara that we didn't get a chance to speak out yesterday. We won't really speak it out today, but just to have an idea of some of the sugyas that we're skipping, right? The Gemara said a svara that kol milsa da avida le'agluye le meshakri ba'inchi. And the Gemara said a big chiddush that even though a kohen is ordinarily a chashud, he's not believed to say that the mum that his bechor has happened b'memela, because maybe he was matal mum, because the kohanim were considered chashud when it came to be matal mum. Stating that a kohen is believed to say that the mum that my bechor has, it had when I received it from the Yisrael. That Bechor Zeh Nosan Li Yisrael B'mumah. Meaning he's not believed to say that it stubbed its toe and developed a mum that way. He's not believed to say that that my animal was eating out of a basket that was wicker and there was a sharp edge and it slipped that. He's not believed that. We're choshed that maybe he took a knife and he did it because he wanted his animal to have a bechor. That's something he's not believed to say. But to say that I got it from the Yisrael with a mum, oh, now already he's believed. What's the difference? If you trust me, you trust me. And if you don't trust me, you don't trust me. If my alibi is X, then I trust you. But if it's Y, then I don't trust you. What's the svara in that? So the Gemara said, because kol milsa davida legluye, loy meshakir inchi. If I say that it happened in the backyard when nobody was looking, there's no way to be mevar if it's true, it's not true. So maybe I'm not telling the truth. But if I say I got it from the Yisrael, which Yisrael? Oh, Yisrael Pliny, he gave it to me with the woman, we can go ask it. There's a klal of kol milsa davida legluye, loy meshakir ba inchi. This halacha of kol milsa davida legluye, loy meshakir inchi is the subject of festered rain in one of the most important halachas in Noshim Nezikin. That is the halach of Eidos Isha, which also came up this week. So what's the halach of Eidos Isha? The halach is ordinarily Ein Davashe Be'erva Pachas Mishnayim. So anytime an Eid is going to say Eidos about a Davashe Be'erva, you have to wait. Stating that, Isha Shalach Ba'idun Dina Sayam, and this woman hasn't heard from her husband in a very long time. So she doesn't know if her husband's alive, if he's dead. If he's alive, she's an aguna. She can't get married until she hears from him. If she's dead, or if he's dead, then she's allowed to get married. So the halach is that if an Eid Echad would come and say that I saw your husband, he drowned, he died, whatever, the halach is she'd now be able to get married. Eid Echad is believed, even though Ein Davar She'Be'er V'Pachas Mishnayim, but when it comes to Eidos Isha, Eidos to be Mater and Isha, that she shouldn't be in Aguna anymore, there the halach is, even Eid Echad is going to be believed. Not only that, even people that are ordinarily posel le'Eidos, such as an Isha, Negeya, etc., etc., even apostle is going to be kosher le'edos when it comes to Eidos Isha. The question is why? So the truth is that if you go through the Gemaras and the Rishonim, there's a lot of different svaras. The Shef Shmaitzah and Shmaitzah Zayin summarizes the Shitas of Rishonim. He says there's three Shitas in the Rishonim. Rashi Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimelam says, you know why? Because Mishum Iguna Akilu Be'Rabbanan. That's the main reason. At the end of the day, Mishum Iguna Akilu Be'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan felt bad for this woman that she should be an Aguna for the rest of her life. And it's for that reason, even though when you deal with Agunas, there's questions of Mamzeris and Eishasish and Chayvi Krisus. And it's very, very chomer. The whole sugi is very chomer. But at the end of the day, chomer felt bad. And Mishum Iguna Akilu Be'Rabbanan. Toisvis Rishita, and Perikei Isha Rabba, is because Daiki Isha Vinsava. A woman will not get married unless she really, really does her research to make sure. And if this woman was willing to stand under the chuppah and be mekabel kedusha from another man, we can assume, there's like a chazaka of sorts, that she probably did her due diligence. She probably did her research, and we trust her. The point is, we go ahead and we trust this woman. Hatzada shava shabahem of Rashi and Tosef Pshat, it's a din derabbanan. It's a din derabbanan. In fact, Tosef asks the kasha parak yishe rabba, how could you trust an eda achot? These are nice derabbanan the gesforas. In koich biat chomalach adavim in a Torah, and Tosef gives a teretz. But there's a third sheet. The third sheet is the Rambam Shita. It's the last sifkot and last halach in Rambam Hilchas Gerushin. Rambam says, you know why we trust an eda achot beidah sisho? Because it's a milsa davidi l'guye. Because at the end of the day, how could you say someone's dead if there's a tzadi who's alive? What happens if he shows up? You're going to look bad. So for that reason, you think? So it's for that reason that we trust him. Because the rule of kol milso davide legluye, like Meshachar Inchi. Look, you know, the Yehuda, and the Shev Shemaitzel, like the Rambam. It should come out, you have to have the Rambam in front of you to really appreciate the deer. It should come out that it's not a dinder Rabbanon that we trust in Eidecha Beidah Zisho. It's actually a dinder Raisa. Of course, Bidei Raisa, in Dovah Sheber V'Pachat Mishnai. Of course, Bidei Raisa, you need to weigh them. But there's also a halach of kol milso davide legluye, like Meshachar V'Inchi, yesterday's daf. And it's for that reason, in Eidecha, it's believed by Eidah Zisho, despite the fact that it's Dovah Sheber, believe Bidei Raisa. You don't have to come on to Yesh Koyach. Biat Chacham Alach. It's not because we it's not a yesh koyach biyat chachamim. It's a din day rice. So we have three shittas. Why in Eidechas believe in Eidechas Isha? In Dovash, Mishumiguna kilabay rabbanon, daiki isho mitzvah. The Rambam shittah, which is relevant to yesterday's app, is because it's a milse davide leguye, and called milse davide leguye, mishakri entry. The Ktsois, the Shef Shmaitza asks a bomba kasha on the Rambam, and that is, how do you know in Dovash of Erev Pachas Mishnayim? Dover, dover, me, mommy. We learn it from mom. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you need to wait in for dover shabereva. But it says, kimas shabereva is dover. And it says, abishnaim, yochim dover. Dover, dover. Get in that face. Dover, dover, mommy. That's how you know to wait. That's the case. By mommy, l'chayrat halacha should also be that a milsa davidi l'gluri le'meshakrava inchi. And you don't find anywhere in dinei mominis that in erechad is believed where you have a svar of kol milsa davidi l'gluri. You find it here in Bechayris. And the Rambam wanted a shtelitzu to a dover shabereva. Or befreit the shef shmaitza, if dover shabereva is really tali in mommy, because of Dava Dava Mi Mamayim. So how is it possible that by Mamayim you don't have that lach of Kol Milsa Davide L'Gluye, and over here you do have that lach of Kol Milsa Davide L'Gluye? That's the first story. The second story is that yesterday the Gemara told the story, the fascinating story of Rab Tzadik, Rab Yeshua, and Rab Gamliel. Rab Tzadik had a Bechar. He was a Koyen. It had a Mum, and he went to Rab Yeshua, and he told Rab Yeshua, this Mum happened by its own. I know the halacha is that a kohen is usually a chasher, but I'm a chaver. And just like you trust me when it comes to Tumah V'Tayin and Shubas Amayzes, maybe a chaver is treated differently when it comes to Bechares as well. Rabbi Shua said, yeah, it was Mekel. He said, absolutely. Then he went to Rabbi Gamliel, he said, no. And then Rabbi Gamliel was kaviyachal. He caused Rabbi Yeshua to maybe have busha, berabim, verinin, ukalam, Rabbi Chutzav Sam, beturgimim. We said over the whole story yesterday. And then we mentioned that really this mice over here, Bechares Taf Lamed Vav, is mentioned in Mesechtes Brachas Daf Chav Zayin, Amavez Daf Chav Chesam and Av, where an eerily similar Gemara, where the Gemara says that not Rav Tzadik, but a Talmud, who remains nameless until the last line of the Gemara, he said Talmud was Rav Shimon Baichai came to Rav Yeshua, he said, Tfilas Arvis, Mayriv. Is it a Rishos or is it a Chayva? Rishos said Rishos, Rabbi Gamliel said Chayva. And then again, Rabbi Gamliel, they went through that same episode and the Chachamim was so disturbed at the way Rabbi Gamliel was treating Rabbi Yeshua that they decided, enough. Rabbi Gamliel can't be the Nasi anymore. Rabbi Lazar Nazari became the Nasi. Harein Kivem Shivim Shon. Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi Yeshua Mechila. He accepted the Mechila. And they ended up making a pshara where Rabbi Gamliel would be the Nasi 3 out of the 4 Shabbosim. And Rabbi Lazar Nazari would be the Nasi the 4th Shabbos. I just think it's worth mentioning. You know, you go through these Gemaras and you know, you read stories. And you know, sometimes the Gemara tells a story. And it's very hard. A lot of these stories are very difficult to understand. But really, it's impossible to fully appreciate the depth, the oimik, the pnimius of the Maisa. Even al derech pshat, I don't mean al derech soid, al derech pshat. Unless you have a proper understanding of the historical context. The historical context of this Maisa right here, Bechares Daf Lamed Vav, this happened right after Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is Churban Bayis Sheni. I mean, think of what Klal Yisrael was like in 1945 as the Jews were leaving the DP camps in Europe. This is that times 1,000. This is Churban Bayis Sheni. Klal Yisrael had just been decimated. The Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The gzeiris that were imposed on the Yidden at that time, the Gemara says in the end of Perek Cheskes Abatin, that the matzav was so bad that Chama wanted to make a gzeiris. Stop, don't procreate. Vinim say, Zarish al Avram Avinu, call me Eilof. He said, why are we bringing Jews into the world? What, to have to suffer like this? The matzav of Yush was incredible. Rabbi Akiva was a beacon of hope, and Akiva Nicham Tanu. But that was Rabbi Akiva. He was a yachid. He was a yachid b'dayroi. That wasn't, everyone's crying. Look at Rabbi Akiva that's laughing, right? All these Gemaras, all the tzaddikim were crying. That was the matzav in Klal Yisrael at that time. But specifically, Rav Tzadik Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara that came to mind this morning was the Gemara in Perek HaNezakin. Everyone knows the story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right before Churban Bayis Sheni, was granted an audience with the Roman Emperor. And he impressed the Roman Emperor, so much so that he told him, ask me three requests, and I shall grant them to you. Amaleh, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told him, Tein li yavno v'chachamel, I want you to spear the Chachamim at that time, the big yeshiva in Klal Yisrael, was in Yavna. He said, I want you to save the yeshiva in Yavna, v'shushilto to Rabbi Gamliel, and I want you to make sure that the descendants of Rabbi Gamliel, the Nesiim, remain alive. They should be the Nesiim of Rabbi Gamliel, v'asfasa, the Masih, the Rabbi Tzadik. And I want you to find a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadik. Who was Rabbi Tzadik? So Rabbi Tzadik had fasted 40 years, the Lichrev Beis HaMikdash, and he was very sick. You fast 40 years. And he said, I want you to heal Rav Tzadik. You have Rav Tzadik and Rabbi Gamliel, both, it's unbelievable, in this request, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, just to give you an idea of who we're talking about. So this is a maysa where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's the Gadol Hador, he felt that for Klal Yisrael to have a hemshuch during this very, very difficult, there's three things. That's what he thought. He said, there's three things we have to have. We need Yavne v'chachamet, it has to be a yeshiva. If there's no yeshiva, it's over. So that's number one. Tein li Yavne v'chachamel. That's the setting where everything is taking place. It's all happened in Yavne. So the first thing he said was, I need Yavne. The second thing is, it's important Rabbi Gamliel remain Nasi. And the third thing is, Rav Tzadik, he's Dachta Godly, he fasted 40 years. And here's a story with conflict and bushes and bizyoinis with Rav Tzadik and Rabbi Gamliel. Emotions are flying high. It's very, very intense. It's unbelievable. But either way, again, just a little bit of historical context, just to conclude this shmooze, I mean, this goes forever, but just to conclude with one aura that Rav Shmuel Reuven Grossman showed me, the Bnei Yisoscha, the Heilige Bnei Yisoscha wrote a sefer called Brocha Mishuleshes. It's a pirish on Mishnayos. There's a Mishnah in Masechtes Idyos that discusses the different, right, going through all the different idyos. It's in the third parak. The Mishnah says as follows, Perak Gimel Mishnah Zayin, Arba Sveikos, Rabbi Yeshua Metama, the Chachamim Metarim. A whole bunch of complicated halachas and hulchas toma. Mishnah Ches, Shloisha Dvarim, Rab Tzadik Metama, the Chachamim Metarim. A ganze shvera Mishnah. Mishnah Tes, Arba Dvarim, Rabbi Gamliel Metama, the Chachamim Metarim. So if you're learning Masechtes Idyos, Paragimel, you can, just every word of Chazal, L'shoini Hazal, Tafel of Hazal. Paragimel Mishnah Zayin, Arba Sfeikis, Rabbi Yeshua Metama, V'chomim etarim. Mishnah ches, shloisha dvarim rab tzadik metama, v'chachomim etarim. Mishnah tes, arba dvarim rab gamliel metama, v'chomim etarim. Who are the names? Forget the halachas for now. The name, the easy part of the Mishnah. It's Rab Yeshua, it's Rab Tzadik, and it's Rab Gamliel. And it's in that order. It says the Heilige Bnei Yischasser. You know why? Because the Gemara says in Masechtes Brachos, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, when was Idyos taught? Ba'osei Ayoy. What happened Ba'osei Ayoy? There was a story. The story was with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel didn't treat Rabbi Yeshua in the way that the Chachamim deemed respectful. And what they said was, this is not the first time it happened. It's the second time it happened, Rabbi Yeshua, and it had happened previously with Rav Tzadik also. And because of that, they removed Rabbi Gamliel from Nesius, and they made Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the Nasi. The point is that on that day, Rabbi Yeshua had been embarrassed, so to speak, by Rabbi. Rav Tzadik's bizyoinis also came up in this whole shmuz. So it says the Heilige Bnei Yisoscha, Tibi Mephayis, Rabbi Yeshua. They mentioned Rabbi Yeshua's halacha first. And Rav Tzadik, who also was a victim, so to speak, in this whole conversation, he was mentioned second. And it was only afterwards that they mentioned Rabbi Gamliel. It says, V'hoyezeh bavur shetziel Rabbi Yishma. Hine sidroi divri Rabbi Yeshua koidim, kidei lefayis is Rabbi Yeshua. V'gam divri Rabbi Tzadik koidim. The gam bebuchr the Rabbi Tzadik tziere. Absolute fellow, it's just such a subtle dick. Three mishnayos regarding some of the most difficult sugyas in Torah, literally. In Tumah V'Torah, in the third parak of Masechtes Idyos, Azuk the Heilige Bnei Yisoscha, it's not a coincidence to say that dvarim. It's Rabbi Yeshua, and then it's Rabbi Tzadik, then it's Rabbi Gamliel. What's that subtlety? The rest of the story is the Gemara Masechtes Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin, So this is when Masechtas Becharis meets Elu Treifus. So we learned Perek Elu Treifus. So we had the picture books, and we went through all the different diagrams and the different halachas as it relates to what exactly is a treifa. We became somewhat familiar with the anatomy and physiology of animals, the four stomachs of a cow, v'chulu v'chulu. So this is somewhat similar, but the context is not treifus, ubasa basa the treifa lo isachelu, but it's what exactly is the definition of a mum. Mumin are qualifying mumin to allow you to shech the bechar. Nifkama oz lemin achaschos. If the cartilage of the ear is nifgam, it has a pagam, that's considered a mum. Avaloya are, but if it's the skin itself, nah, what's the difference? If the chaschos gets damaged, it's not going to correct itself. Thus, it's a mum kavua. If it's only the ar, it's a mum oiver, it's not going to be an issue. Nistika, if there's a hole in the ear, or crack, even if nothing's missing, but the crack itself renders it a mum. Nikfa, if there's a hole. Meloi karshina, the size of a karshina. Karshina is a bean of some sort that was considered, that was meichel behema. So if it's that size, oshe yafsha, or if it dried, those would be considered mumin. Is that what yafsha? What does a dry ear mean? It's so dry that if you puncture a hole, no blood's going to come out. It has to be even more dry than that. It has to be if you touch it, it's literally going to start crumbling. So either way, the Mishnah says that the following mumin, we're going to have a whole bunch of mumin now, but what's the first one mentioned? Mishnah discusses the ear of an animal, and it says, if it's the cartilage, if it's the skin, if there's a hole, the size of a karshin, the size of this, the size of that. The point is, a mum in the ear is considered a mum. If you look at the pasuk in the Torah that talks about the mum of a bechar, it says as follows. Piseach means that the animal is lame, can't walk. Iver means it's blind. Then it says, "Kol mumra loisis bechenu l'Hashem aleikecha." Torah just mentions two mumin, and it doesn't mention the ear. So, for the Gemara, if it says piseach or iver, then luchayra it should be only those two mumin. So, the Gemara, "Ksiv nami kiyeh by mum." It's true. It says piseach or iver, but before that, it says v'chiyeh by mum. Here by mum is a more general statement, and that's the rabbi's other mumin as well. Freit the Gemara, be'emach here by mum klal, b'secha iver prat, klal uprat, e'emachal al-mashe p'prat, b'secha iver imidachrini loy. Says Gemara, isn't this a klal uprat 101? Gemara says no. It says afterwards, kol mumra. So again, v'chiyeh by mum, piseach ha'iver, kol mumra. The second kol mumra is chaza v'kilel. So what you have is not a klal uprat, but rather what you have is a klal uprat, klal iatadon alakein uprat, ma uprat mufurish mum shabagoloi v'en chayzrin, af kol mum shabagoloi v'en chayzrin. So it's not a klal uprat, but rather it's a klal uprat to klal. What's the rule of klal uprat to klal? Ein b'chlal elo ke'ein ma'sha b'prat. What's ke'ein ma'sha b'prat? The prat, piseach ha'iver, is a mum shabagoloi, number one. You can see it. It's in a chayza. It's a mum kavua. It's there. So too, anything that's a mum shabagoli, in a chayza is going to be considered a mum. The mumin mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the ear meet both of those criteria. That's why they're considered mum. The aim of the Gemara, ma'aprat mufurish mumin shabagoli, uputa b'mlachtoi, ve'enu chayza, afka mum shabagoli, but b'mlachtoi, ve'enu chayza. Why don't you say that there's another uniqueness to piseach ha'iver? If an animal is a piseach, it can't do work in the field. If it's an iver, it can't do work in the field. So why don't you say that there's three criteria? It has to be, number one, a mum shabagoli. It has to be enu chayza. Number three, it has to be a type of mum that would force the animal to be on disability. It wouldn't allow it to be able to work. So, trying to help you. If that's the case, then the woman in our Mishnah that discuss a nekev in the ear, that wouldn't be a reason for the animal not to be able to work. So why did the Mishnah say, nifkama azna min achaschos v'loy min ar? Right. So why in our Mishnah are they considered women? Zachti Gemara, kol mumra ribuyu. It's a klal pratu klal with a ribuy. So it's a little more than a klal pratu klal. Klal pratu klal, plus the riboy. The riboy says that something that you would have excluded from the klal pratu klal should actually be included. What's that something? It doesn't have to be batal b'malachta. Gemara says, "Yihachi mumin shabasei tsunami." Why aren't we marba from kol mumra? That even though there's a klal pratu klal which says that it should have to be a mum shabagaloi, but let kol mumra be marba even a mum shabasei tsunami. Why don't we do a mishnah chutin achitzayin yeshinifku v'shenigmu the outer gums of the animal that were nifgam or nigman, they were cut, they were notched, they're nicked. The halach is considered a muf. And if it's the inner gums, that has to be literally necro. Necro, innifgamu, v'nigmu loy. And what's the reason that has to be uprooted completely? Because if it would only be nifgam, it wouldn't be a mum shebe galoy. Because being that it's in the back of the mouth of the animal, you don't really see it. If it's neka, you could see it sometimes when it opens its mouth. We had it earlier in the week. But the point is, from the fact that it has to be nekru is a raya that the mum has to be a mum shebegoloi. So the question is, why do you have this halacha mum shebegoloi? Why don't you say kumra, kol mumra is marba? So the Gemara says, be'ina mumra v'leka. I'll tell you what, because kol mumra is marba, even something that you would have excluded, as long as it's a mumra. If it's a mum shebeseser, it's not even a mumra. Right, the Gemara, ihochi mum oiver nami. Let's be marba mum oiver. Alamatam, why are we learning the Mishnah? Blame an ar. Mishnah said that if the hole in the ear was in the skin, it's not considered a mum. The reason is, because it's a mum oiver. Why is mum oiver excluded? Because it falls out of the purview of the klal prat klal. But if you have kol mum ra, which is a riboy, let's be marbit. So the Gemara says, mum oiver svaru. It's a svaru. Why? What's the svaru? Hashtem mifrak le prakinani lavei, mishchot shachtinan lavei. Madach, if you have Suli Amukdashim, you have an animal that's actually not a bechor. Where the halacha is that if you want to now treat it as Suli Amukdashim, you'd have to be poided. The halacha is the mum that it would have to be a mum kavua. So certainly when it comes to bechor, where the halacha is that if an animal has a mum, you don't have to be poided, but you shecht it, certainly a mum oiver shouldn't qualify as mum. Right? What's the difference between a bechor that has a mum and regular kashim that has a mum? Regular kashim that has a mum, you're poided and then you can eat it. A bechor that has mum, you don't have to be poided. You can skip the pedia part. So the Gemara says, if mum oiver is not considered a mum in the world of psuli hamikdashim, where you're being machmer, you're doing pidyon anyways, and still it's not considered a mum, then certainly it shouldn't be considered a mum. Certainly it shouldn't be considered a mum by bechor, where you're not going to be poided. Time went to the brides of him called behemet meyachal you kavet v'menu korban l'Hashem bebali mum and I call him medaber that pasuk that says v'm kol behemet meya asher yakrivu v'menu korban l'Hashem. What's that behemet meya? It's referring to an animal that has a mum. Ato imi bebali mum and she nifto I call him medaber yeno behemet meya mamish. How do you know it's talking about an animal that has a mum? It says behemet meya. Behemet meya usually means a non-kosher animal. Kishuoy imi v'm behemet meya harei behemet meya amu amani mekay asher lo yakrivu v'menu. Okay, so that pasuk is talking about a balmum that has an animal that has a balmum. Yochel yifto al mum oiver. I would have thought that any mum is enough to allow you to be poyed. Even a mum oiver. Talmud loy ma'ashi lo yakrivu mimenu karban l'Hashem. Mi she'ina kreva kolik yatzuzu she'ina kreva ayoyim alamach. Only an animal that, or a mum that will render the animal never to be able to be brought as a carbon is considered a mum in the world of psuli hamikdash. The point is that a mum oiver is not a mum for ordinary psuli hamikdash. It certainly can't be considered a mum when it comes to bechor. That's the first teretz of the morning. Ibay yisayim im kain pisech v'iver lomali. If you're going to tell me that I have a klal prat to klal, and then it says kol mumra, and kol mumra is going to be marba everything, then what are you being mamayit from the klal prat to klal? If you might something from the klal prat to klal, so what we're mamayit from the klal prat to klal is a mum oiver. What we're marba from kol mumra is, if it's a mum kavua, but it's not bottom imalachtoi, that doesn't bother me. And the halach is, it's still going to be considered a mum. Nistaka afa pishle chasu. Tan rabbanon hasedek kolsho. Crack in the ear, even if it's a kolsho. Tapkima, a nick in the ear, baby deyal, baby deshamayim. Doesn't matter if it happened deyal, baby deshamayim. It's considered a mum. Michlal de sedek deshamayim loy. It sounds like pegima. It doesn't matter if it happened bidei adam bidei shamayim. But as it relates to sedek, it has to happen bidei adam. It can happen bidei shamayim. Why should that be the case? The Gemara says, "Ela sedek upkima bein bidei adam bein bidei shamayim." It doesn't matter if it happened bidei adam bidei shamayim. If it's a sedek or a pkima, it doesn't matter how it happened. That's always going to be considered a mum. V'chama shir pkima. What's the shir pkima? A nick in the ear is a pkima. What does a nick mean? If you would take a needle and you would scrape it across the ear, would it get caught in that little nick? That means it's a big enough nick. Nick for mulay. Tana rabbana. Kamen akivis ha'oizen. So the Mishnah said that a hole in the ear, if it's mulay karshina, that's considered a mum. What is the shear? Sok the braisa. Mulay karshina. That was the stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yis, Rabbi Yehuda, there's a second shita. He says bekadosh. It has to be the size of a lentil. Ezu, yevesho. What's, does a dry ear mean? A dry ear was also considered a mum. What's the definition of dry? Shim tinok v'ene maitzia tipas dan. So dry that it doesn't bleed anymore. Reish v'ram shulam ayim yoshik dechitei nefreches. That has to be even more dry than that. It has to be that if you would touch it, it would actually crumble. Tano kreivin divreim liyoy shavim divreim. The two shitas were very similar to each other. Now, we just mentioned two halachas in this braisa. Number one, we had a machloikas. What's the shear of nekivas ha'oizen? Is it maloi karshina or is it bekadasha? And then we had a machloikas. What's the definition of yovish? Is it so dry that it's not maitzitipas dam? Or is it even drier that it's nefreches, that if you touch it, it's going to crumble. Then the Braisa says the two shittas are very close to each other. So the Gemara says, the very demand. Ilim Tanakama, Rabbi Yosef, Menachem Shulam, Tuva Ikka. Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef, Menachem Shulam, that machloikis of, is it dry that it's not Moitzi Tipas Namur, it's so dry that it's going to crumble, that's a very disparate machloikis. Two very, very different shittas. Ela Zokti Gemara, the Tanakama of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. What it means is, with regards to the machloikis, the Tanakama with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda excel. So just to conclude, a very geshmaka week of Daf Yoimi, with one very geshmaka ha'ara that I heard from my good friend Levi Chomsky. We don't really have enough time to do this justice, but just one last ha'ara, and that is, so toich divrei v'gemara, we were discussing the halacha of being matu b'chayres, gimel, mumcha, muvik, not muvik bizman hazeh, Rabbi Yosi, nemukayimah, yachid v'rabim, halachik v'rabim, Rav said it once, he said it twice, sofik mishmei the Rav, sofik mishmei the shmul, toich, that whole shmuz, the gemara mentioned Hatoras Nedarim. The Mishnah said, Gimel Matirnes HaNeder, three could be Matir Neder, three people, the Mokim Shem Chacham. Meaning, if there's a Chacham, you have to have a Chacham. But if there's no Chacham, Gimel Matirnes HaNeder. And the Gemara said, repeated it again, that who is that coming Lafuke? But listen to the Lashon of the Gemara when the Gemara mentioned it for the second time. Shloishim Matirnes HaNeder. Three could be Mefer Neder, the Mokim Shem Chacham. When there's no Chacham, three could be Mefer Neder. And that's Lafuke with Rabbi Yehuda. The time Rabbi Yehuda said, Afar is Adam Begimel, and you always have to have a Chacham. So the second time that the Gemara brought this halacha, the Gemara's Lashon wasn't Shloishim Matirnes HaNeder, but it was Shloishim Mafirnes HaNeder. Toisvis, the Tav Toisvis and Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, right here in this Gemara, asks a kasha from a Gemara Masechtas Nedarim. Toisvis doesn't speak out the Gemara Masechtas Nedarim, but it's implied in what Toisvis is saying. The Gemara says there's two ways to be mevatel a neder. You can be mevatel a neder by being mat a neder. You can be mevatel a neder by being mefer a neder. You matter a neder by going to a chacham. Shimon or Rabbi say mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. What is afaras nedarim? That's something that the Torah talks about in the beginning of Parashas Matlis. A woman that makes a neder, if she's a married woman, her husband has the ability to be made for the neder. If she's a single girl up to a certain age, her father has an ability to be made for the neder. There's a parasha of Hatoras Nedarim, and there's a parasha of Hafarism. They're not the same thing. Hatoras Nedarim is when the Chacham does it. Hafaras Nedarim is when the husband or the father does it. The Shulchan Aruch of Hatoras Nedarim and Hafaras Nedarim are very different. The Gemara says, Baal She'omar B'loshoin Chacham. The Chacham She'omar B'loshoin Baal Lo'yam Uchlo. Meaning, when the Chacham is Matan Neder, he has to say Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. When the Baal is Mefer, he has to say Mufalech, Mufalech, Mufalech. You can't switch. It can't be that the Chacham will say the Lashon of Afara and the Baal is going to say the Lashon of Atar. It's because fundamentally Atar and Afara are very different. And it's for that reason the Baal has to say B'Lashon Afara and the Chacham has to say it B'Lashon Atar. Based on that, Freita Yisakasha, Shloisha Mefirin Es HaNed, it's the wrong Lashon. It's not a farah, it's supposed to be a tara. It's not Taisvis. No. Lishna the Kronaka. The reason the Torah uses this lashon, the Gemara uses this lashon, is because that's the lashon of the Pasuk. Pasuk never mentions Ataras Nadarim. Ataras Nadarim is something that's not mefurish in the Torah. So Afar is mefurish in the Torah. And when the Torah talks about Afar, it uses the lashon. So Lishna the Kronaka, Aval Gabi Chacham Shaykh Lashon Atara. It's the wrong lashon. Really, it wouldn't be Lashon Atara. But Lashon Afar. Really, what it should have said was Lashon Atara. Zok Tais, I have another Gemara like this. Shechim Bamechas Asmino, Bavabasra, Defain Dalam Nalav. Gabi Baskol, the Kamer of Achshev Shenishbati, me Mefali. So what's this Gemara that Tais is referring to? So this is a classic Gemara. It's in the Haggadah, in the beginning of Perek HaMoichres HaSfina. The Gemara tells a whole bunch of stories that took place with Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is walking in the desert and he meets Yishmaeli. And he tells Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, does the Yishmaeli, ta achvi loch Harsinai. You want to see Harsinai? Have a curious, you want to know where Harsinai is? I said, sure, let's, of course. Who doesn't want to see Harsinai? He says, come, let me get. Azli, they went, Chazoi. And he took Rabbi Chana to Har Sinai. He saw the Hajjon Le'akravi. He saw there were scorpions in that area. But they were standing as if they were white donkeys, whatever that means. So Rabbi Chana, he walks into the base marriage. He tells over what happened. He says, I was at Har Sinai. He says, no, so what was there? Scorpion, they look like white donkeys. Okay, anything else? He says, yeah. Shamati Basko. Sha'imeles. That says, Oili Shenishbati. I heard a Basko saying, Oili. It's so terrible that I swore. Va'achshav Shenishbati, mi meifeli. He said, now that I swear, I wish somebody would be made for this shvuah that I made. So the Gemara says that when Rabbi Rachana told us over to the Chachamim, they told him, Kol Abba Chamra. They said, Abba. Abba's name was really Abba, the Rashbam says. He was called Rabba because he was Rabba Abba, but not for today. So he said, Kol Abba Chamra. He said, I understand you. You understood what did Hashem mean? What did this pasuk mean when it said Oyli Shenesh Bate? Obviously, it's bemoaning the Golus. Hashem swore that the Yidden are going to have to be in Golus. And he said, me mayfully. Didn't you understand that Hashem was trying to tell you to be made for the nether? So why didn't you understand that? And why weren't you made for the nether? What you should have done was, you should have been the one that was made for the nether. But who suffers? Why didn't Rabbi Rachan? Why wasn't he made for? He thought, Dumush Fuas the Mabalu. How was he supposed to know what this nether was? He thought that maybe the nether that Hashem was referring to, or maybe the Shvua that Hashem was referring to, was not the Shvua of Golos, it was the Shvu of the Marble. Hashem swore he's never going to bring another Marble. And he said, Oli Shenesh Bati, because Hashem is saying that Yidden aren't, the world is in such a horrible state that I would love to bring him up. But Oli Shenesh Bati, his rabbi said, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be made for it. And it's for that reason. But that Rabbanim told him, he said, why say Oli? I don't believe Hashem would have said Oli for something like that. Oili is for something that would be bad. At the end of the day, either way, that's the exchange of this Gemara. So, Tosfos, what was the Baskel? The Baskel said, Oili shenishbati, v'achshav shenishbati, mimeferli. So, Tosfos, mimeferli, that's the wrong word. Hafara is something that a husband does to a wife. A father does to a daughter. What did Hashem want? He wanted someone to be matter. Not be mefer. He wanted someone to be matter. So if that's the case, why did he say me mefer me? So you have to say the same thing like in our Gemara. The Gemara is using the Lashon Hakra. The Torah doesn't talk about it. The Torah talks about Afar. So in the Torah, Isha Yikimetav, Isha Yifrenet, that's why we're using the word Afar. But really, that wouldn't be the right word. So Levi showed me that in Yaakov, there's a parish called Ahavas Eson. And the Ahavas Eson brings from the Teres Chaim, in Mesechtes Bava Basra on this Gemara, where the Teres Chaim, he doesn't quote Tosfos in Becharis Daf Lamed Zayin and Aleph, but he means Tosfos. So the Teres Chaim, knock at Lashon HaFara. The Baskel said a Lashon HaFara, v'loi knock at Lashon HaTara. Afagaf the Kaimel on the Baal, b'Lashon HaFara, v'chok b'Lashon HaTara. Yesh loy ma, you know what the Pshat is? So he says, Pshat based on a Gemara, in Mesechtes Moikotten Daf Tezayin and Adais. The Gemara over there, Darshan's a Pasuk, where the Pasuk refers to the Tzaddik as an Isha Elokim. Why is it tzaddik called Isha Elokim? The reason is because ani moishel ba'adam, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi moishel bi? Who's moishel in me? Tzaddik. Shani goizer gzera u'mevatla. And the tzaddik has an ability to be mevatla gzera. A tzaddik is called an Isha Elokim. You know why? Because he's the husband of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. A husband in the sense of who yimshel bach. That he's a husband. The point is that just like a husband has a certain memshalo on his wife, the tzaddik has a certain memshalo of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the oimik of tzaddik goyzer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to it? It's the same reason a woman will listen to her husband. She's oyser etzayim baila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oyser etzayim baila. Same concept. The concept is that a tzaddik is an Israeli kid. Said the Teres Chaim, you know what Hashem wanted Rabbi Bar Bachana, the tzaddik, the Israeli kim, not to be matir the nether, but to be made for the nether. Because a tzaddik has an ability to be made for. What do you mean? Only a husband can be made for, only a father. The tzaddik is the husband, kaviyachal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a relationship between the tzaddik, where tzaddik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim, the tzaddik is the Israeli kim, and if the tzaddik wants, he can literally be v'hu yimshel bach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it was Lashon HaFara. It's not Lishna Dekra Naka. That was going to go with a Seidah V'Afara. It wasn't going to go with a Seidah V'Atar. Hafu says the Havas Eison, based on this Teres Chaim, I want to answer three kashas. Let's see if we can do this in 3 minutes. He says, three kashas. He says, number one, the Rambam Paskins and Perek Zayin, Hilchas Nedarim, that if somebody makes a nether, I'm not going to have enough from anybody in the city. And now he goes to a Chacham in that city to be matir nether. The Chacham can't be matir nether because he's in a Negev B'davar. I can't be matir neder when I'm in a gay bedover. Why not? Because I'm the gay. So I can't be matir neder. So if I make a neder, I'm not going to have a gadol. Then he goes to the gadol. Can you be matir the neder? I can't be matir neder. The neder was about me. It's a mafurish around the perek zayin alocha tes in ilchas nedarim. Frek the mishlo melech's kasha. Frek the mishlo melech. If that's the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Rabbi Bar Bachan. At least that's what the Chum thought. To be matir his neder. I can be matir his neder. He's in a gay bedover. What was the neder? What do they think the neder was? The galus. He's a victim of the galus. Himself. How could he matter the nether? That's one kasha. Another, we'll skip the second kasha. Third kasha is that the halacha is that when you make a nether, or you matter the nether, you have to be mefarit the nether. You have to be mefarit, right? We say it in the nusach on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Hine mitzad adin, ha-mischaret va-mevakish ha-torah, tzorach lifrit ha-nether. Ach dunar ha-boisai, ki yev shalofartam, ki rabimim. Right?
Now, what does that mean? I'm not sure. But you have to be ma'ayin in the halacha. But the point is that we know ha'mischaret v'amivakish ha'torah tzorich lifreit aneder. That's something you have to be part of another. Says Kasha was, what was the habamina that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana would have the ability to be matir this neder? He wasn't mefarat. They didn't even know what the neder was. That was the whole shmuz. Did he mean this? Did he mean that? That's why Rabbi Rechana was afraid to go ahead and be matir shvur. Zokta havasei son. That's all if it was going to work with him. Seder of Atar. Like Tosfos says in Bukhari, Staf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. Oh, but lefi the Teres Chaim, where the Teres Chaim says that he never meant Eibush, they didn't mean Atara. He meant Afara. That's why he said me mefili. Because this was going to go with a Mahalach of Afara, a Mahalach of Israeli kid, a Mahalach of Tzadik Goizim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kind of like the Gemara says in my cotton, Tav Tezayin Amabez. By Hafar, Rav Azri allowed to be negei b'davra. A husband's always negei b'davra by his wife's nether. If I cared, when are you allowed to be mefi nedara? There's two times. Inui nefesh, udvar mishim inoil meinah. It has to be my negeis. If I don't have negeis, I can't be made for the neder. So of course the negeis is not an issue. And as it relates to tzorich lifrei taneder, the shach says mefurish and simen chav ches, that there's no reish chav ches, or I don't remember. But either way, the shach says mefurish, that's only by atara. It's not by afar. In fact, that's why Hashem sent me made for me. You know why he sent me made? Because it couldn't work with a seder of atara. It had to work only with a seder of ha-afara.